You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everybody, the NFL playoffs are here, don't you know? You can watch every game of the postseason for free with the Yahoo Sports app or the official app of the NFL on your phone or tablet. Plus, get all your latest breaking news, highlights, and more. So download the NFL app or the Yahoo Sports app in your app store or at NFL.com/mobile today. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply. Take it away, Tony Romo.
Kansas City, when you're such a favorite, it's almost a tougher spot to be in. And that's, you slept on the lead, right? Like you're supposed to win. You're almost like have a little anxiety with it. Whereas the other team's coming in free. They're freed up to lose. You're supposed to, right? That's a way better way, you know, to play in a game or any sporting event. And then all of a sudden, Kansas City gets behind by 24, and now they're freed up. They're supposed to lose. So now they can reset and now go play football and see what team goes to the AFC Championship.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Reminder, sorry to start off on a sour note here. We only have 3 football games left. I mean football, period. I'm including college football. Now that the LSU Bayou Tiger is your national champion until autumn later on in this year. Meantime, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Hope all's well wherever you are. Hope you enjoyed the extended weekend of big-time football action punctuated by that aforementioned LSU victory, a resounding thrashing of powerhouse Clemson, Dabo, and otherwise. Vince Vaughn was there, I heard. I heard a thing or two about that. Let's break that down, but more importantly.
That Vince Vaughn was there?
No. That you're here in Studio 66. And by the way, who joined us in Studio 66 via digital technology, our old pal and digital Wall of Famer, Jeff Schwartz, and older brother of Mitchell Schwartz, part of the fine Kansas City Chiefs offensive line and the powerhouse offense in general of those Chiefs, broke down what he thinks is going to happen on the AFC side. And we also spent some time on San Francisco and Green Bay. We're going to make our proper picks here with the man whose voice you already heard, seated to my immediate left. He's one half of the greatest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. Breaking down all the raw emotions of Los Angeles Dodgers fans, specifically ones who were paying attention in 2017.
Dark days.
I also think Alex Cora is going to have to answer for some of the Red Sox stuff ultimately too. I don't think he got
new career for Alex Cora. He's done.
Yeah, I don't think he gets like a 20 game sit down.
Think about what you've done the rest of your life.
He's also the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers. Big stuff, probably. Going to happen there between now and the start of the season. We already know that Antonio Gates has hung him up, and soon his jersey will hang in the Hall of Fame, but that's not true. They don't do that. They just make a bust of your head. What else do you do? NFL Now on Thursdays and Fridays.
Let me get to Eddie's tweets.
How are you, Matt Money Smith? You enjoy that national title game?
Man, when the pitchers and catchers report, so excited. That preceded Joe Judge overrule. Excited to do this again in 2 years. that
overrule. You see, he gets it because I understand the judicial
overrule.
Joke.
Overrule.
Yeah. He's on it. Overrule. I get the whole thing.
Did you know what you were doing there, Eddie?
Oh, come on.
I was doing a little play on words. But
hold on. Because that then persists one, which was my favorite. It's like it's simmering. You know, the simmering is, man, when do pitchers and catchers report? So excited. And then the boil, not a rolling boil, just a boil is, Joe Judge overrule. Excited to do this again in 2 years. And then the full rolling boil, like, oh, my God, I just hit the pot and it spilled all over my arm and I have third degree burns is, what a terrible goddamn hire. How is this inspiring for a struggling franchise? The Giants have lost all respect and are clueless.
There's nothing better
There's one
than
more
when
sentence.
A New Yorker brings up respect.
I Who's despise this. Eddie, it is my favorite tweet you have ever lobbed out. Ever.
Really?
It's not even close. What a terrible G-damn hire. How is this inspiring for a struggling franchise? The Giants have lost all respect and are clueless. I despise this.
But now he's had a big turnaround, right, Spaghetti?
I think the issue was you hired Ben McAdoo, then you hired Pat Shurmur, both got fired after two seasons, and then you now hire a guy that no one knows, probably everyone knows less than they knew Pat Shurmur or Ben McAdoo. Rhule was the guy that was talked up as being their number one option no matter what. He's the guy that rebuilt two programs in college. Everyone loved him. You could, you know, kind of rally around guy. And out of nowhere, the Panthers swoop in, steal the guy, and then we go hire some, like, Patriots assistant, not even Josh McDaniels. So at the time, I was like, well, this process seems awful. I was blaming Gettleman just for being a member of the Giants still, because I think he scares away people. And then, Mara and, like, just the lies they put out saying, like, oh, no, Judge was the guy who wanted it all along. It's like, that's not the truth. Like, you did not want Judge all along. You wanted Matt Rhule and you lost out. So don't lie to the fans and say that was the number one option since Monday when he was hired on two. Like, it's just, I was frustrated. That
I literally trust the Patriots and Astros more than the Giants.
He throws the literally.
That's a tweet.
But yeah, turn around on him. Judge seems like he could be a leader of men, good CEO type. So we'll see. We'll see.
A lot of good sound bites there in the press.
He had a lot of good
football guy sound bites.
He already is way better with the media than McAdoo or Shurmur.
I mean, my gosh, McAdoo was just god-awful with the media.
Yeah.
Meantime, Stefanski gets introduced to the Cleveland Browns faithful there. And the first thing that struck me is, look out, add another one to the coach's side in the handsome race. Look out, QBs of pro football. Mm. Here come the coaches. LaFleur, I don't get the Kingsbury thing as much.
I'm with you.
And now, yes.
Sunken eyes.
What's so handsome about him? Because he kind of looks like the movie star.
He doesn't look like Gosling. He's very birdie.
I get what people are talking about when they say he looks like him, but he looks like him as much as Don Swayze looked like Patrick Swayze. One was a sex symbol. One was a guy you'd walk by on the street.
If we're trying to make the case that we're descendants of birds, like, Kingsbury's the guy I'm going to. Like, I look.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's very bird-like.
Yeah.
They're saying, I also, oh, wait, where'd it go? There was another one from, oh, yeah, here we go. Joe Judge looks like he's a cop. Like that observation.
I know a million people have made the observation already, but Joe Burrow really does look like he
Andy
just
Dufresne.
Won. Well, he does look like that. Yeah, he does look like
that
Dufresne.
That was always the one that I kind of stuck on with him.
But he also looks like he walked out of a Hughes picture from the 80s, too, as the
Hughes
bad guy.
Picture, yeah.
A bad guy.
Bad guy.
The bully
or
high school kid.
Or one of the guys
kid.
On the Hoosiers, you know, on the Hickory team. You know,
yeah,
it's
would
the
be
haircut.
A work, too.
It's the floppy hair with the tight sides, you know, and he's very pasty.
I have had
pasty white.
I stand by my record as a QB whisperer, not being able to tell them how to succeed in pro football. Rather, just by eyeballing them, I can generally identify who's going to make it and who isn't. I've had some swings and misses, and so too has Matt Money Smith. I'm not going to bring up. I wanted to provide evidence to the latter. And I was right about Lamar Jackson for 2019. You were kind of wrong, but then came around on Lamar Jackson. And
I still have my issues with him. I think they
well,
certainly
that's the big question.
They
we
reared
didn't,
their head in the divisional round.
We
that's
didn't
for
talk
sure.
a lot about that. And you heard Tony Romo at the top there embracing the Damashek theory of the curse of Sposta, that the team that's supposed to win has extra pressure on it. Do you think Lamar Jackson was victimized by Sposta, or do you think that you know, again, I completely get, and our pal Maurice Jones-Drew and other Rams supporters will tell you, it wasn't that the league caught up with what Sean McVay wanted to do on offense. It was the offensive line and a diminished Todd Gurley and injuries and otherwise. Fair. But also, I do think I stand by.
Are we talking Lamar Jackson here? Is that what this
is? I feel like just as Jared Goff, and a lot of people love jumping in on this. It is such a weird issue that on one side of things, I resent the people who get up on Mount Pius and treat it as some sort of virtue test if you don't root for the Ravens offense, that you don't, right, that you didn't embrace it. Well, it's a shame on you. History will remember this for all time. Seconds ago. But anyhow, on one side, but now on the other side, like, see, told you, gimmick offense can't work. Like, I don't know, was running every snap under center when the rest of the league is going shotgun in 2018? Was Sean McVay and Jared Goff, was that a gimmick on their part? I don't really think so. However, I think Greg Roman is going to have to modify things considerably.
Yeah, it was the concern that everyone had. If you get into the playoffs and you play a very good team and you find yourself down two touchdowns, can this offense come back and get back into a game? And I think that was something that was suggested by a lot of big brain football folks, and they were castigated for it when they were running roughshod over the Cleveland Browns and whatever other team was on their schedule over the course of the regular season. And it's like, yeah, that's fine, but when you get to the final four, the final eight, and those teams are good and they can jump on you, do you have the ability to get back into the game?
The kryptonite of Drew Brees. I'm sorry to interrupt you. The thing is about Drew Brees that people always point to, and it's a little overstated if you look at the numbers, but his home road splits. You take Drew Brees out from under that dome and throw him outside, I think he would have struggled much more than Russell Wilson did had the Saints had things broken right and they were in Green Bay for the playoff game. So that's a bad kryptonite to have for one of the guys.
I think that's a totally fair.
I love that people want to argue with me that he belongs in the top five in the Super Bowl era, but he can't play well outside. That seems like a weird strike to have against you.
But see, you're taking it to the extreme.
I know. I'm making a point.
Outside is an inaccurate statement.
I know, but he does drop off considerably.
He drops off. But I mean, this year they had a better record on the road than they did at home. I mean, they played well outside the dome this year, and they played good teams outside the dome. So he can. It's just in big, and that's where like the Lamar Jackson conversation comes in, right? It's in big games, he hasn't, you know, and for Lamar, it's like, all right, and look, it's way too early to start making these judgments about what kind of career the guy's going to have. I'm simply saying it in the moment, you know, after watching that wild card game last year and a team get a second crack at him and know how they wanted to play this offense and they force five fumbles and an interception, a pick six. Okay, well, now you've had a whole season to watch it. You're a Titans team that seems like you're really moving. The front's now connected to the back of the defense. You've got pressure coming up the middle and the ability to contain on the outside because of the way that defense is built. How's this going to look if it gets away from them again? And it played out the same way as it did last year. So for me, it's just the sample size of two games in the postseason. One, where he piled up a lot of crappy stats at the end of the game in that Charger game. And I was there. I saw it firsthand. It was a defense saying, go ahead. Just come on. Come right at us. You can get your 12-yard gains. We'll tack you. That clock's going to run off 4 or 5 minutes by the time you score. And we feel good about where we're at. Same thing happened against the Titans. They got up. And that 300, well, Lamar had 300-plus rushing. Yeah, let's look at when it all came.
I know, nonsense. Let's not worry about that one.
Keep running your offense because it's going to take you 8 minutes to score. So we are content to give you all of these yards.
Precisely.
You know, and look, he's a great player. He is a phenomenal, exceptional talent, and he'll figure it out. He's 22. It's just not there yet, I think.
Is he a top five quarterback in 2020?
I mean,
number one this year, right?
If I get to take all of Baltimore and the offense with me, yeah. I mean, I would draft that offense in the top five for sure.
You would, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I think the defense is going to get gutted again. That was the storyline this offseason.
I'm top five. If I have to take this, so I would obviously take the Chiefs over it.
Well, it's a funny transition. I mean, yeah. Ben Roethlisberger is the best hope among the old guys at this point. Drew Brees is 40. Tom Brady's 43. Eli may never play again. Although, as much as I've been calling for it, and I'm not ready to Jerry Orr back this and say that when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, but I'm starting to back off my prediction that this is going to have, that this QB market is going to be more active than it was even last year. I think Phil is going to stay with the Chargers.
I don't know.
I just don't know what they're going to do unless they get Brady. And it sounds like that now things set up that Belichick is going to stay there. Josh McDaniels,
or I guess
presumably is going to stay there, right?
Yeah, I think.
And then, so why, where's Brady go?
Why would Brady leave? That's certainly fair.
Can they actually? Am I missing something? The answer for that team is Hunter Henry, isn't it? I mean,
for the Patriots. Oh yeah,
isn't that? When did he get to be?
But the Chargers will franchise him.
How did he get to be an unrestricted free agent? How did I miss
second
this?
Rounder? So 4 years.
But it still feels like he's only been in the league for a couple of years. I guess he's been hurt for so long that you feel like
he's never been healthy. I've called the games for 3 seasons. He's never been healthy for a full season.
He's not George Kittle or Travis Kelce. He's certainly not Gronk. But he's a moose that you want.
He's probably, I'd say you take Kittle 1, you'd take Ertz 2, and you'd take Henry 3. I think is probably the order that you would go for tight ends in the NFL. Kelce's interesting. Because Hunter's a much better blocker than Kelce.
Well, for the Patriots, that's right. That's what would seem to matter to me.
That's what I'm speaking to. I'm thinking of, if you're the Patriots, they could certainly figure out how to use Kelce. I mean, Kelsey's the best pass-catching tight end.
Defense is old up there. But anyway, yes, I think it's going to be interesting to see, because as Warren Sapp told us a decade ago, the fastest adjusting organism in nature is the NFL defensive coordinator. He's going to have a whole offseason to adjust to this. As I said from October on, the question is not whether or not this offense can dominate. It's when do the defensive coordinators of the league catch up with it? Is it before they win the Super Bowl, or is it after in the offseason?
I think if he knocks off the Chiefs, then I think that helps Lamar and the Ravens. It's like, hey, man, we ran into this truck that was just barreling down the highway, and we were in this little carriage, and it just plowed right through us.
Oh, I love it.
And we weren't ready for it. So I think that's also that, the whole story hasn't been written yet. If you're the Ravens and you see the Titans do the exact same thing to, the best offense in the league, I don't think anybody would argue that, and what Andy Reid has going with the Chiefs, then it's like, yeah, guess what? They got us just like they got too. And everybody did. The Patriots dynasty ended because of this team, and we got humiliated.
I'm on a text chain ongoing with Sal and a couple of Boston sports fans, Simmons and Hench.
That's pleasant.
And they're rationalizing the minute that Baltimore's, I feel better now about the Pats losing to that team.
Great. Way to go. I'm glad you feel better. Congratulations.
The thing about copycatting what the Titans did, and that's what we talked, one of the things we talked about with Shorts was, can you copycat Casey and Simmons? Because that's the key. I don't think you just replicate.
No.
Here's how we schemed to stop that.
I mean, they were able to do both. That's the decision you have to make when it comes to that offense is, am I going to attack it and hit it right away and make myself susceptible if he can break contain?
That's right.
They
were cutting back on the Steelers in week 17. The Steelers were trying to be aggressive from the edges.
Right.
And they just kept abusing them up the middle.
And they weren't able to do that against the Titans because they had with Casey and Simmons locked, but then their edges, that was kind of one of the, when Oregon got going in the Pac-12, that was always the debate is, why are you not just stringing this thing out? Just string it out horizontally as far as it'll get. And it's much harder in college because of the hash marks, your field up to one side is much wider. It's harder to do, but Titans almost did both. They were able to get that pressure and hit them up the middle while sitting along on the outside.
You know what helped them? Their 12th man was the curse of Sposta, and I legitimately mean that because Lamar Jackson, if you watch some of the decisions he made, he would have been a little looser and stayed put for that half beat extra and taken it and strung it out himself, but he didn't. He got a little panic and tried to reverse field a couple of times in big spots.
Yeah,
and that
second, fourth, and one, it was like, that's not the Lamar Jackson I saw all year.
Yeah, just outrun the guy to the stick.
Exactly. Instead,
you have him. Why'd you turn around there, man?
Minute. Yeah, it was odd.
All right, what else, Spaghetti? What should we talk about here? Do you want us to make our picks? I did too.
I mean, who didn't want to see that?
And now we have to.
I'm excited though. I'm also excited by Titans.
I am
Chiefs.
Too. The specter though of a six seed. I believe in merit, and I don't like when these six seeds who get in on the last day when they run the table. That's just not my favorite.
But remember, it's not. See, to me, that's different. This is a different six seed because this is a six seed that really was a 7-3 team. Mariota was not good for this team.
No.
And once you made that change, you go 7-3. Tannehill's the best rated quarter, in terms of passer rating, but also played well, won them some games, and you establish an identity of, hey, here's what we can do now with this guy at quarterback.
I know. I love the idea that this is going to be, the Chiefs better ignore all that noise this week about, like, Well, we take away Derrick Henry. We take away. We cut off the head of the snake. What are they going to do? Ryan Tannehill won games for them. It was not Derrick Henry week in and week out.
First two plays against the Ravens.
That's right. That's exactly what they're going to try to do.
A beautiful pass to Jonnu Smith in the corner of the end zone. Put them up 14-0.
The simple paradoxical math is that if you want to pound a team into the ground over the course of 60 minutes, you must first get the lead. And how will you get the lead is attacking that mediocre secondary with A.J. Brown and company, exactly what they did to the Ravens. And if you can get the Ravens secondary, you can get the Chiefs secondary too. I will not be surprised, and it will not be the same thing like, well, we rallied from 24, different game, different team, and you're not going to be able to rally Derrick Henry.
A defense that's allowed 5 yards per carry to running backs. Just running backs across 16.
And now
you got Derrick Henry. What did Henry get again in week 10? I think he had like 190 yards. I'm not exaggerating. I think he had like 190 yards.
They better get
Chiefs.
Chris Jones back. That's one thing for sure.
They already beat him. They beat him. They lost time of possession by 15 minutes, the Titans did.
Yeah, but that's before everybody decided that the defense was fixed. That was the defense is good now.
That was the week before.
He was good for a month. Now it's all set. We can stop any. Like, let's see you stop Derrick Henry. Because if that team gets there. And by the way, if they play the Packers, I think they'll beat the Packers. They could win the Super Bowl now.
It would be something. It would be.
We'll get to the picks.
Well, the Steelers did it, right? Steelers did it as a six.
They did it.
The Giants did it as a six, I believe, right? Those were the two.
The Packers did it.
And the Packers, that's right. The Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl, they were the six.
The first wild card to win the Super Bowl was the 80 Raiders. They beat Jaworski and company.
Were the Giants the six or were they the five?
They were the six the second time around, right?
The second time, the 2011 Super Bowl, they played a home game versus the Falcons. I think they were on the road for all.
That was 20-2 or whatever it was.
Yeah, they crushed the Falcons.
Game?
Yeah,
yeah. It was just two, you know what? Yeah, I think they were the six because they had to beat the top three teams. Mm-hmm. They won the first one. They had to beat the one, and then they had that. That's right. So they were the six. So I don't know. Maybe there's something magical about that team that just catches fire late, and.
All the people who are 20 and younger keep saying, like, well, what do you think? That's obvious math that you're pointing to. Unless the Titans go, it's then going to be 19 out of the last 22 teams that get to the Super Bowl had a bye. And the reason I keep pointing that out is because a decade prior to that, that wasn't the case. Like you point out, the Packers and the Steelers and I think the Giants. And it used to happen that wildcard teams would wind up in the Super Bowl. And at minimum, the Ravens didn't have a bye. They're the last team to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win it.
The Cardinals were a four?
Won that division because they hosted the Eagles.
Yeah,
right?
They were the four seed, I think. I believe they played on wild card weekend, though.
Well, they would have had to. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, rarely happens.
Was that the year that they beat? Was that the? No, it couldn't be. Can't be the same year.
Aaron
Rodgers got picked off by Darnell Dockett or whoever.
That was the year that Santonio Holmes didn't get 2 feet down in the end zone.
Shame on you. Shame on you. I don't like that talk. Mm. You know, you know what? You know who is embarrassed about that? The man in the mirror. That's who should be embarrassed. Where's your honor, sir? You know his both tippy toes were down on the field there.
I don't know that.
Now.
We don't know.
Could we debate, should the Cardinals have gotten one extra snap before they blew the whistle? They had the phantom whistle. Like, yeah, we reviewed it up in the booth as time expires. It's like, seems like you couldn't have had time to review that last play. But... the confetti's falling and it's black and gold. What are we going to clean this all up? I don't think so. What's up?
Yeah, your talkback's not working, Eddie. You're just going to have to speak to the people.
I don't want to cut you guys off. The Cardinals, they were
Carlos Dansby.
They were a four seed, but they won their division. Right. So they would have been like the first team to advance to the Super Bowl as a four seed besides the.
Dansby year, though, right?
Colts and Panthers.
Rodgers' first year after taking over for Favre, I'm talking about.
The Cardinals was the year that they. Was that the year that they knocked off the Patriots or the Packers in OT?
That's a different year when Rodgers had no receivers that you'd ever heard of before.
Right.
And
they beat the Eagles, the Panthers, the Falcons.
That's what it was. Yeah. So you were right. They beat the Eagles. Then they knock off the
Pack. Huh?
Yeah.
Anywho.
Not a very formidable path to the Super Bowl.
I mean, talk about a stain on the legacy of the Lombardi. If the Arizona Cardinals, all due respect to you, Kurt Warner, that would have been embarrassing for the Steelers. That would have been bad for pro football.
I don't know if it would have been bad for pro football.
Would have been bad. 9-7 Cardinals.
Larry Fitzgerald gets a Super Bowl, gets a Lombardi.
What I remember about that game is as Larry Fitzgerald ran that one into the end zone, I remember a calm washed over me. Usually I have anxiety watching big games with the Steelers. In this situation, as I watched him run in, my old man was there, and maybe I was counterbalancing him, the yin to his yang or whatever, but he was in panic mode, and I just remember issuing to the room, Seven's got this. I absolutely, that's right, did it. And I was right.
I cannot relate to that at all.
You're like, the what?
I can't. Like,
what are you, a weirdo? What are you, a machine?
I know,
you don't care about.
I
you have no
I
heart anymore?
I can't relate to that at all. Like, everyone's freaking out, and you decide to take it upon yourself to
everybody.
Say, hey, Yins.
Dave, you forget. This. Yins forget who our QB is, dude. We got Big Ben Roethlisberger, dude. He's going to go over them cards, them birdies. The San Antonio, he's going to go to San Antonio once,
Seven's
twice,
got this.
Three times.
I love that.
Seven's got this, and he had it. He made me look good that day.
There you go.
Now, Roethlisberger has...
How did we... It's championship week.
I'm telling you something about it right now.
I'm letting you off.
I'm telling you something now.
We don't get to make this a Steelers pod.
I don't want to make it that.
You already have. We've done way too much.
We just talked about it for 41 seconds.
We've done way too much.
Well, we had time for Joe Judge, but we don't got time for Billy Carr.
Well, yeah, because it's on the
Carr
rundown.
Carr power's in the Hall of Fame, dude.
Which coaching hire will work out the best?
Here's what I want to tell
you. That's on the rundown. No more
Steelers.
Here's
what I want to ask you. I don't care about coaches as much. I don't like... indulgence of coaches as much as I do.
Get back to me in 2 years.
About even though a lot of people say, who cares about legacy and narrative and how we remember these guys? As fans, that's what matters on some level. And so I ask you this, Money. Who benefits, and Spaghetti, I want your answer too. Who benefits the most? I'm going to cover this on Good Morning Football on Saturday. You'll get my final answer on this. Who go through 1, 2, 4 names of players, coaches, team, even fan base, whatever, who benefits the most? Everybody benefits from the Lombardi, but who burnishes his legacy, the franchise's legacy, or beyond most with a Lombardi here?
Well, I think Andy Reid, right?
I think
that
he is
to me,
one
that
guy.
To me is number one. Number two, I think, is Aaron Rodgers, because winning two is so much. It's much different
so
than
far
one.
You're with me in lockstep. That's absolutely right.
How many do I have to do?
How many you want. All if right. You think like, yeah, I mean, okay, Titans get off the historic schneid. They leave the Browns, Bengals, and some other teams that have never won Lombardi before, and so they're now on the right side of history. But I don't know how much it changes pro football, although
it is interesting.
Everybody
though, right?
Thought there's, like, oh, look at how that team's throwing the ball.
So there's a funny little, like, you know, I didn't say it's not necessarily ancillary, but it's an indirect result of a winner. You know, is the 49ers or the Titans affect Bill Belichick's legacy? You know, in that if Garoppolo has two big games and wins a Super Bowl, it's like, hey, remember how Belichick didn't want to get rid of Garoppolo? Or
that's why I thought Belichick was going to leave.
Or,
I thought he was going to be, by this point, he would be the head coach of the Giants or otherwise because of exactly that.
So there's
what,
that.
You made me trade this guy away, right. And now everybody's hand-wringing. What are we going to do about the 43-year-old QB? We had the answer. He was right there, and you made me trade him.
So there's that. But then there's also, finally, a successful branch off the Belichick tree winning a Super Bowl in Mike Vrabel. And route to winning said Super Bowl, he outfoxed Belichick at the end of that game with the delay of game and the false start, causing Bill to go into his hissy fit on the sideline about what's going on here. And it's like,
no,
the old Padawan learner took a little something from you, pal,
yep,
and stuck it right back. So I think that those are two interesting sort of results that would affect.
I can agree with that. Bill O'Brien and Brian Flores combined two of his assistants to knock him down to the third seed. And Mike Vrabel, his ex-player,
finishes him off,
knocks him out,
right?
2 weeks ago. That's fascinating stuff. I agree about Aaron Rodgers. And here's the statement that might hit you like, wait, what? But 2 years ago, 3 years ago, everybody in football America would have agreed with this, but the last couple of years have not been kind to Aaron Rodgers because of injury and the McCarthy stuff and that divorce and otherwise. And even in the divisional round, Russell Wilson came out of that looking better than Aaron Rodgers did, and Rodgers was great in that game, I think, on Sunday night.
Well, the third down pass to Devontae Adams alone was ridiculous.
I know people don't like QB wins. I don't care. if you don't like them. I think you're wrong. I think you're trying too hard to make a point that is deeper, that is not so accessible to everybody with two eyes. You win two Super Bowls. It matters when they only hand out the one Lombardi every year. And if Aaron Rodgers wins this one, he then is the third best back of the Super Bowl era. Who rightly do you put ahead of him then?
Brady.
Why? Because he
Montana.
Won one game. Now you're going to make it. Yeah, that's right. That's what I will. Ask Marino if it makes a difference.
Right.
Ask Brett Favre. If he jumps Favre and has two, he's the better Packer. That is how he'll kind of remember. It's Montana and it's Brady.
I'm still going to put Elway ahead of him.
I love Elway.
Even though Terrell Davis won him those two Super Bowls, I'll still put Elway ahead of Rodgers.
Spaghetti, who would you put ahead of him? Not Breeze.
No, wow, I mean
he's breathing like a panther over there.
So I'm thinking about that. I'm writing up my list.
He's going to name Cam right now.
No, I'm.
What about Hostetler? You know what his playoff rating is? 116.
Phil Sims is forever underrated.
Yeah, I mean, I he's top five if he wins. I don't know about three, but top five.
I mean, who goes ahead of him then? The big two, and then who else?
I'm okay with LA. I mean, if you want to even throw in Marino, it's fine with me as well.
Huh. All right. I just think that would be the final thing that would be like, well, he only won that one is the only knock that people can volunteer about him.
I think what it definitely does is it puts to bed the Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers conversation. Because if he equals Peyton in Super Bowls,
Breeze.
I think he could. He'll jump Peyton. He can jump. It's funny though, like you said, it's a game, and it's a game in a season in which Aaron Jones has been the catalyst for all of this success, really, and a great defense finally. But yeah, I think it's fair. You know me; I hate those damn lists.
I love them. Whatever you want. I love doing them.
Whatever you want.
It's all about. That's what the fun of doing it is. You do a radio show for 4 hours a day.
There's no right answer. I mean, it's like
That's why it's fun.
I'll put him five or four or whatever.
If there's a hard and fast correct and wrong answer to everything, then I'd be wrong a lot. Yeah. This is much more fun to debate. Sure. I can never be wrong. You see, I'm vain. This suits me, these kinds of things.
We haven't done one thing on here.
All right, we're going to get to it right now. The other one I would say is that...
we're going to get to it right now.
Except this. Here's what the one other thing that I think... Spaghetti, why don't you throw it? Do you have anybody else who really benefits from...
My top five would be Rodgers, just edges out Reed. My number three would be Jimmy G. I think that changed a lot of things. Then I have four, I have Rabel, five, Mahomes. I have Mahomes low because I think Mahomes has an entire career ahead of him and he will win at least one, but I think multiple Super Bowls.
I hear you, but if he comes up short, I mean, if he loses in the Super Bowl to a great Niners defense, then there's some wiggle room. Although... early in his career, Marino got the one and never got back. So then that starts to get in your head. And again, this thing about like guys don't feel pressure and people are looking for more meaning to stuff than actually exists. Oh, it matters to those guys. They're human beings after all. And if he gets through 3 years now, it's like, ooh, Mahomes is great, but can he win the big one? We'll start to be, whether you think that's fair or not, that's what will start to happen.
Yeah, but he's already got an MVP. He's got the comeback win.
If he loses an Arrowhead.
To
the Titans, to the six seed. Then it will be...
I mean, he should have beat the Patriots last year. Mm-hmm. You know, an offsides call is what doomed him.
I'm just telling you how it goes. I'm just telling you how it goes.
To me, he's the most safe. Like, he's the most bulletproof of all the guys if you want to take shots at him for, oh, can you believe it happened to this? Like, I don't think anyone's taken... you know, getting licks in on Mahomes for like, hey, can you believe he let him? You know what I mean? Like that Jimmy, because of the interceptions and the fact they basically, I mean, look what happened in that game. Shanahan's like, we're not going to do that. You know what we're going to do moving forward? Because I got this defense and it's Kirk Cousins, right? Yeah, we're just going to hand the ball to Tevin Coleman and Mostert for the rest of the game.
Because every time, it's the same thing as the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and we talked about that at great length for like a fortnight after that game. It's the catch 22. Jimmy G is not enough. He's not Russell Wilson. He can't just go out there and like, hey, just put the ball in his hands. He'll make plays. You know, let it break down. It's fine. He'll still make plays with it. Jimmy G is the opposite of that, which is you have to use play action, but you can tell every time he looks up from that, he's confused for a second. When Jimmy G, watch him on that. Well, I mean, he just doesn't see he doesn't drink in the whole field. When he looks up from that play action and he looks back up, where he almost gets picked all the time is when that linebacker slides in on him and he just doesn't see him at the other side. That's where he gets got all the time. And whether the linebacker catches it or not is the difference in a lot of those games. But I agree with you about Mahomes, the individual, and maybe the Chiefs, But who really needs Mahomes to win it is the NFL. Because if the Patriots dynasty is in fact done, you cannot let the league turn into just coin flips every season. If your number, if it starts to feel like, hey, 2019, the year of the Tennessee Titans, and then next year it's like, hey, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did it, and 2021, the Bengals got over the hump with Joe Burrow. That sounds fun, but that gets tiresome very quickly. You need the context of a dynasty. The NFL needs the yardstick. Darth Vader is in Star Wars for a reason. The Yankees make baseball better, and the Pac-10 was more relevant with USC being good than the Pac-12 is with Clay Helton's sorry crew. Football needs someone to emerge as like they're always going to be in this mix. As these old quarterbacks start to move on, and Aaron Rodgers is even himself a little old, you need someone to emerge as the guy. Because I don't think the Lamar Jackson thing just, oh yeah, over the next 12 years, Lamar Jackson's going to dominate the NFL. Patrick Mahomes will dominate for the night. I think you need that to happen.
And that's the most likely candidate.
I think that would be good for football. Yeah. So, with that being said, what do you think? Should we jump into some picks, fellas?
Fine with me.
Red Challenge flat? Well, not if you're going to act like that.
Is that the end of the show? The show when we do the Red Challenge?
That's it, right. Why? You have anything else you want to talk about?
Not really.
Okay, look at the list. Do you want to talk about
all this? Ellie did the LSU, Clemson. That was this week.
These are thought starters. We either seize on them or we don't.
He did the NHL Conn Smythe. Who's the Conn Smythe Trophy thus far? I think we do that next week.
The Conn Smythe? How do I know? I'll tell you this. That Penguins team, if it gets healthy, 87's back.
God.
That 87's back now. Do you see what that team's doing with all the injuries?
I'm going to put on my Pat O'Brien voice now. Hey, you're doing a national show. You want to do local? Go back to your stupid
this
local.
This question
radio, huh?
Says Conn Smythe Trophy.
Yes.
Who am I going to pick?
Did you read with
Ovechkin?
The Conn Smythe of the NFL playoffs to award a playoff MVP.
Who is the NFL's Conn Smythe?
There's only a one game MVP.
Three letters, and it's like, yeah, Pins. How about my Pins, huh?
I'm not from Chicago.
How do you say it? Give it to me.
Dave, the Gwennies.
The
dude,
what?
Sidney Crosby, dude. I don't care about the McDavid kid
say
up
Penguins.
There.
How do they say
Ovi,
Penguins?
Ovi can score all the goals he wants. I'll take the Stanley Cups, dude.
How do you say Penguins?
I just call them the Gwinnies.
The Gwinnies. The Gwinnies. You just saw NHL and you immediately started talking about
the I thought that
the
was
Penguins.
The question. Spaghetti and I like to talk about
it
hockey.
It was a great bit.
It was great. I didn't realize this
Eddie,
is what we were going
to
do.
And all it did was lead you to
all
talk
right.
about the Gwinnies.
All right, Smarty. Go ahead and answer it then. Conn Smythe of the NFL playoffs to this point. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right?
Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got to play. He got to play one extra game. I mean, you could argue Pat Mahomes, right? Yeah. Davante Adams broke a record for most receiving yards in a playoff game.
If Richard Sherman shuts
he's the
down,
gang of peace.
If Sherman See, shuts down Adams next
that
week,
to
though,
me, that upset me a little bit.
His,
I'll be honest.
Press conference?
Just that he's the guy that got all the attention. It's like, hey, he is a product. He's a great player, but that defensive line is what leads to a secondary getting. The idea that he's the guy that you want to focus on after Thomas, Buckner, Armstead each had a sack and Bosa had two. It's like, no. Go get those four guys because that's what made this team what it is all season. And go talk to them.
Okay, let's do it like this then. The Jenga piece so far. Instead of Conn Smythe, let's talk about a different game called Jenga. Who has been the Jenga piece? I guess it's still Derrick Henry, but going forward,
definitely.
Who's
non,
the most essential?
Quarterback.
Yeah, non-QB. Can't say Patrick Mahomes or otherwise.
So Derrick Henry's off the table and quarterbacks
well, going
off the
forward.
Table.
Yeah, I mean, do you buy that Derrick Henry's going to try?
If it ain't happening, it ain't happening. You know, that's been their formula. I'd say, yeah, see, it's not, you know, you could make a case for Nick Bosa, but I mean, you know, Buckner, Armstead, and Thomas have been fantastic.
And when D Ford is out there.
And D Ford
it,
as well.
It is, as Chris Westland
absolutely
pointed out to me last week, he is kind of he elevates that defense.
Yeah, because you most definitely can't
double
anyone.
He Dante Fowler's that defense. He's the finishing piece on the dominant defense.
Travis Kelce, maybe?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like
you
that
know,
quite a bit.
That's one. You know,
I like
just
that a great deal.
How are you going to call it? You know, linebacker, safety, you're screwed either way.
That's how the Chiefs, by the way, survived the Titans. Tyreek Hill
yeah.
was not a huge presence against the Texans. If he's right. the difference in this one. Spaghetti, you have something to say?
Yeah, I'm thinking of more defensive, lesser guys that have been talked about. Like, Tyrann Mathieu's name has been popping up a lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
The Packers have, like, Jair
Alexander. What about Aaron Jones, right?
Darius Smith. There's a lot of guys. Aaron Jones as well.
Like, against that San Francisco defense, if you don't have a viable running game, what the heck are you going to do?
Kittle for the
tee off on you. Yeah, Kittle's a good one.
Oh, yeah, Kittle's great. All right, let's get into it then. It's time for the championship round of the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
I feel like it's, frankly, I don't like to jive the audience, and I feel like it's going to be anticlimactic. I know where money's going. I'm not positive where spaghetti's going. That's the element of intrigue here. But we'll start with you, Matt Money Smith. It's the Titans in Arrowhead to play the Chiefs. Choose.
Chiefs.
Oh, I'm so tempted.
I know. I was tempted to take the Titans, too.
So tempted.
Come on, just throw it.
I'm not going to.
All right, I'll take the Titans. Now throw it. We can have a – there you
bang!
Go.
Bang! I gave you the reason why Tyreek Hill makes the difference. He's the X factor in what – either way, I don't think that this is one of those take the air out of the ball kind of things and 3 yards in a cloud of those little rubber pellets that pop up when guys fall on the field these days. I think it's about A.J. Brown getting some points – and a little bit of a shootout there, and ultimately Tyreek Hill and those high-end athletes make the difference for the home team. Chiefs win it. The one thing that concerns me is they have no ability. They have no finisher on that offense.
No.
Like, hey, we're up eight.
Damien Williams, LeSean
put it away.
McCoy's
6 minute drive.
Anymore.
Right. Shady McCoy doesn't even dress.
So here's the weather forecast for Sunday. High of 24.
Oh.
Low of 12.
Advantage Tennessee.
So you and look, that offensive line is getting push, and they've already played. They already played, and the Titans won 35-32. That's already we already saw these two teams tangle with Pat Mahomes out there, and
fluky play to steal the game. But
it was definitely. But again, they were there trading punches with them the whole time. And again, I didn't hear you when you said it in my ear. What did Derrick Henry have in that game?
He had a 180 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. Woo. So it's like,
hey, but Spags has that D playing at a hot.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I'm totally comfortable taking the tight. And by the way, you mentioned with the hiring of Stefanski and everyone comparing him to the Clune dog there. I got to say, I think my new favorite guy to look at on the sideline, freaking Mike Vrabel. Badass Mike Vrabel that mustache that. Don't you give me lip. I'll come knock your ass out. Like, there's something about Vrabel that I appreciate that, getting that demeanor. You know, I know I'm a biased guy, but there's something about seeing Anthony Lynn on a sideline and standing next to him, and you recognize this guy is completely jacked and was a fullback in the league and won a couple Super Bowls. You don't want to tangle with him.
I always
feel
bad for 21st century guys who spend 6 or 7 days a week in the gym getting super jacked. I'm like, I don't know if you guys heard the news, but I don't think the female population is that into that look anymore.
Oh,
really?
I think that
went out around 96 or so.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what happened to Spaghetti. He figured that out about 3 years ago.
So he stopped with the weights.
When you stop with the weights, it turns into fat.
I'm pushing back on this. Really?
I don't think women are into super jacked guys.
Well, I'm not saying super jacked. I'm saying Vrabel is a man. Like, he doesn't rip his shirt off like the Incredible Hulk.
Not my type.
He's a big dude that will wreck shop.
Too swarthy. I want him to be smooth.
You
like
want your
dolphin.
Guy to be a D3 receiver?
That's right.
Is that what you want?
That's right.
Yeah, a little D3 receiver looking all tough on the sideline with his aviator glasses. What happens when you run into Vrabel?
I think final score.
Where are you at? Wait a minute. Eddie, we're married. We're old men. We've got children. Eddie, while you are in a committed relationship, and certainly you love your lady, is Sheck right in this? Are women no longer into guys working out and in good shape?
I think if this conversation took place in Staten Island, New York, Sheck would be way wrong. I think in Los Angeles, I think he kind of, like...
What?
Staten Island wants the Vrabel or the guy of that size. You want mass. You want to be the biggest possible, like, human being.
Right.
I think in Los Angeles, you look more of
like... Are they going, fancy mustache, skinny jeans?
The Cliff Kingsbury type of look, like the suave movie star.
Yeah, most women in L.A. I think more than in Staten Island in... I don't know, Bel Air or wherever, Brentwood. I think they want more like the bass player from Death Cab or something.
Oofa.
Like that. Yeah.
I'm pro Vrabel. That.
That's not your way.
I'm pro.
And look
Vrabel.
At how I'm built, and I'm pushing back on it.
It's interesting. Like, it says a great deal about one's psyche. Do you embrace things that remind you of you, or the exact opposite of you? David Carr, who is ruggedly handsome and all talent, he is sort of the patron saint or the sacrificial lamb of uber talents who got screwed by situation when they got to the NFL. So he always sides with the uber talented guys. That's why he diminishes Joe Montana. He's like, anybody could have done what Montana did in that Bill Walsh offense. He likes the Marinos of the NFL. I am like you. I'm like, well, but that would be like me. Who would want that?
Exactly.
Woody Allen.
Look at the guy that's big and
what kind of club is this if you let me into it? I don't want to be in there.
Exactly. Yeah. That is interesting. Wow, that's an epiphany that I wish I hadn't heard. Well,
I'm going to give you this one.
A discovery.
Chiefs 34, Titans 28. A little bit of a shootout there. Okay. Spaghetti, how say you?
I think Chiefs are in the 30s. I think Titans barely get in the 20s. Hmm. I noticed this the last pod with Schwartz, but I think I truly believe the Chiefs played their sloppiest football, and that's out of their system, and I think it's a good thing, and I'm just not going to go against Mahomes. I mean, they had like seven straight touchdown drives, eight straight scoring drives.
Yeah, but they fell behind by 20.
They better not.
Points.
Yeah, they better not. There's they no better not be too again. Impressed
they,
by
they
how
fell
they rallied
behind
there
by 24 points.
That would. I mean, that's the thing. They better not Fumbles. Be like we can overcome anything. They better not be cavalier at the
not
end of the first
team
quarter.
That's going to rip it off for six a carry against you.
Don't get yourself down 10-0 to that team. It's completely different.
Yeah, but those are it's just sloppy football, bad fumbles and special teams. And stuff like that, and I think once they got going, I mean, Bieniemy and Reed, they were just calling plays. The Texans were like, "We don't know what to do here." And
well, because they got sposted. It's a interesting higher rule there of the sposta. Once you blow 24, now the wheels are off. It does not like, well, we're gonna have the same amount of possessions. Like, no, the game is over now. There's no way you overcome the
in a quarter,
the gut
no less,
punch.
Before half.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. It they was. Took their dignity. I really felt bad. I really legitimately felt bad for some of those guys out there. All right, here we go. To the NFC side of things, a classic matchup among non-divisional rivals here. But like I say, so many great memories of these two teams hooking up in regular season and in the postseason. 49ers, Packers, Eddie Spaghetti. Juice.
I picked against them all season long, but I'm going to finally get on the bandwagon. I'm going to go with the 49ers here.
I dare you to throw this one. Make a case for Aaron Rodgers, Chicago guy. Mm. I'm dropping it. I'm taking the Niners at home.
Yeah, it's hard for me to take both road teams, but what the hell?
All right, go ahead. Make your case. You make your case, friend.
Just don't buy Jimmy G. Don't buy
that
it.
That simple.
Don't buy it. You got a good pass rush. Mike Pettine's a darn good defensive coordinator. They came up with a big stop when they needed it against the best quarterback in the league, Russell Wilson.
Ooh,
I like their secondary.
Snuck in a bold statement there.
Is it really that bold?
Well, it's funny because you mentioned Pettine and postgame. You could just see that there is that sense with, you know, I think it's a little bit much. It's a little bit saccharine for my taste that there's this a league of family. Football is family. A little bit much with some of that stuff. But you could see Pettine saying to Russell Wilson, my goodness, man, you are crazy. You are crazy. We had you down 21-3 with nothing on the field with you. I got a couple of
no
nice
running game,
pass, but no offensive line, no running game,
and I'm going to take this from you. It's nuts. How
you can
good
just see the respect that they have for him. Yeah. He talk about top 10 in the Super Bowl era quarterback right now. Russell Wilson did more credit than he already gets.
So I making the case, it's you know that. That Aaron Jones has run the ball as well. He's, you know, speaking of underrated, someone who is not mentioned nearly enough. I mean, the guy is crazy fast, extremely physical, great at getting off of should-be tackles for yards after contact. Not crazy about their offensive line. I like their secondary, and obviously you have Aaron Rodgers, you know, who has not
done
a whole lot.
You can run a little bit on the Niners. You have better chance running.
Well, you have to.
Cannot let them get in the lead.
Like the Packers have to do what the Seahawks did to the Packers, which is, we're getting 2 yards per carry, but guess what? We're still going to run it. We're still going to let some time get off the clock, and we're going to take our shots on third down and see if we can move these chains a little bit, you know, on some big plays on third downs. The defense does not line up well for Aaron Rodgers, that's for sure. I mean, that front against what I think is a totally overrated offensive line of the Packers presents problems, as it did the first time.
And it's not an indictment. Bosa, D. Ford, and those interior guys devastate everybody.
Five guys. It's not four. With Ford healthy, it's Ford, Bosa, Buckner, Armstead, Thomas. It's crazy. Like it's, and now that freaking Warner is out there, I mean, he's playing his ass off. And it's the only place you're going to get him. And this is it, so here it is, right? It's the Akello Weatherspoon gets right. sat again after that play. And it's that second corner that they haven't been able to find. And their safety play has just been okay, not great. So it's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to find your weakness.
I agree.
Go get it.
But it is
go been, get it.
It boils down that off. I mean, it is Davante Adams' show.
Yeah,
that is it. That Packers team is really good when Davante Adams is rolling. You can assume.
But that's what I mean. It's complimentary, right? It's if Aaron Jones is going, now Davante Adams is perhaps going to be single covered, and if he's not, I don't know if you know Valdez Scantling or Lazard or whomever it's going to be is going to be enough. But, hey, Jimmy Graham made the big catch to seal the win. Maybe that gives him a little bit of a boost in the middle of the field there.
Zadarius and Preston really better get Jimmy G and force him into some stuff. We pointed to this before the season kicked off, that area in the NFC. That's with the Packers. Maybe that's an edge for them, but this should be, unless there are the so-called extra points, unless there are special teams touchdowns or a pick six or something like that, both plausible things. Obviously, you can't count on those things happening, though, going into a game. Unless those things happen, I think it's the Niners by double digits, 49ers 30, Packers 20.
Oof.
That's your Super Bowl. It's all right. The Montana
and I got
Bowl.
The two road teams.
Chiefs and...
wait till it's Titans, Packers. Boy, are people going to be excited down in Miami. Get that Nashville train going.
49ers, Titans, although Nashville is at least in close proximity. So that would get some people
I went
there.
To the Titans, Rams, Super Bowl out there in Atlanta. Those Nashville folks partied. I managed to just stumble my way into a couple of their private parties and enjoyed myself. Look, it's Nashville. They know how to party. They'll have a good time. And they're kind people.
I agree. I keep saying it. I hope the Chiefs win. It's been 50 years. This is a tentpole franchise in pro football history.
If I could pick the matchup.
Pick the best one.
Chiefs-Packers.
That's right.
I mean, that's the one we all
year
want.
Redo of Super Bowl I.
Right. That's the one.
Handsome looking out there would be a flip of the uniforms from Super Bowl I because the Chiefs would have the red and the Packers would have the road whites on. I also, though, I mean, for matchup sake, stylistic and all that kind of stuff.
And you get the
Niners with the mighty defense.
Oh, yeah.
And
Chiefs with the offense.
And if you like to torment your Patriots fans in your life, get Jimmy G with 2 weeks to talk about, yeah, that guy should have been our right. successor up here.
Right.
All right, that's it. Any more hockey talk you want to squeeze in?
No.
We could do it.
Didn't even talk about the national championship game.
I wanted to talk about it.
Whatever,
I asked.
It's too late now.
We can talk about it if you want to.
You're busy talking about Ben Roethlisberger.
I mentioned him in passing.
Not really.
I think it was very brief, wasn't it? I thought I was pretty conservative there, Spaghetti. It's a reminder of the importance of a quarterback in the quarterback league in the 21st century.
I actually even gave
That's
you,
how you do
I
it. Mean,
I gave you a path to actually talk about players, but not in the way you did. I said about if Burrow goes number one overall, think about the AFC North next year with the three Heisman winners, and then you have Ben Roethlisberger in the division. It's a pretty impressive division.
I can't have a meaningful conversation about the 2020 Steelers yet. We got to find out what Roethlisberger's situation is, because they might be going off into the great abyss if the medicals hey. Come back, like, oh, that elbow's a mess. I don't.
Since
that could be a fourth place
since
team.
You got me on Lamar, hey, at least they got your boy Madoff. Have fun with that. You want to bring up old S? There you go. There's your guy.
I don't like that talk either.
No.
They got Doc.
Yeah.
Doc Hodges,
yeah, they got your guy Doc, too. Congratulations on that.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Late until the divisional round game in Charm City, the latest that Ravens team trailed in the game was twice in the second half. By three in Heinz Field to one Duck Hodges.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Congratulations.
Well, that's a weird thing that's true. That the Patriots, the Seahawks.
Well, but they were playing anybody. They were playing all their backups.
I'm talking about in Heinz Field.
I got you.
I'm talking about this. So they go 14-2. All these great teams couldn't hang with them. The one team that did was the Duck Hodges Steelers in and really, they should have won because I don't. You know what?
Yeah.
See, now this is what you do to
That's
me.
What I do.
You trade on my weaknesses, and then you attack me for exactly those weaknesses. Shame on you.
You set me up to be knocked down.
Shame on you. Good luck with Joe Judge, Eddie Spaghetti. all the best to you with that.
Thank
Matt
you.
Money Smith, best to you as well. Thank you very much for making the time, as always.
Love
always
it.
DDFP at its best when Matt Money Smith is around. And we'll visit with our old pal, Handsome Hank, at some point soon. Three things very quickly, if I may self-promote. New Daves of Thunder out. Make sure you check that one out. Sat in with Chris Long on his podcast. Yes, we did a lot of game picks in the divisional round, but we did 15 or 20 minutes at the very top on uniforms. He and I park our cars in the same garage on all things uniform, so that was a great conversation. And, oh, the Jeff Schwartz podcast that we did just a couple days ago, worth going back and listening to that, obviously plugged in to what the Chiefs are doing with his brother Mitchell.
How so? How's he plugged in?
Well, because he knows what Mitchell likes to eat during game week. That's legitimately what he...
I don't know, dude. Like, Mitchell likes to get the grill going, like, on the front.
Like, that's the kind of the conversation, the insights we get. Anyhow, that was great stuff. This was great stuff. Thanks, Spaghetti. Thanks, Matt Money Smith. And thank you, the listener, for checking out another episode of DDFP. Send us those ears, why don't you? Prove that you made it all the way to the end. And we'll talk to you after the title games in front of the Super Bowl to make sense of all those games. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.